Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 25th, 154th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, back from his national travels, Ryan Sundberg.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How long does it take you to get back into the zip code, into the time zone?
How long does it take?
Yeah.
Oh, to adjust?
Yeah, to get acclimated back.
It took me a couple days there, and then a couple of days once I got back.
Oh, good. So depends, you were there just long enough to be normal, and then they warped you again.
It depends on how long I'm gone for. You know, this one I was gone for almost a week, so it took me a couple of days. If I just go to Washington, D.C. and back, in 2 or 3 days, it's usually not that bad for me. But this one was, almost a week, and it took me a few days to get.
Started talking back. Like a native, huh? Our quote this morning comes from Socrates. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you and gang of what, 80?
I think there was 60-something of us.
Okay. Gang of 70 went back to play the what-if game.
Yes, we did.
Version 2016. What was the scenario and why you?
So the scenario was, well, first of all, we went back to Emmitsburg, Maryland for the Emergency Management Institute training through FEMA. And it's a huge campus. It used to be an all-girls college, and I'm assuming it was. I didn't go into
that. That explains the bed size.
Yes. The twin bed, yeah. Yeah. I sent a picture to my wife when I got there, and it was LOL. She's like, oh, have fun on that. But, so we really ornate buildings, groomed. Everything is manicured to perfect, and big crosses on the buildings, and a huge church with the steeple, and it was a really cool complex. The place was really nice, except for the bedrooms. They're dorm room style, and I don't think I've slept on a twin bed since I was 10, probably around there somewhere.
And welcome to my world, big boy.
Yeah, you're way taller than I am, and so, 6'3" and a half with a twin bed.
So your feet touch the
floor.
Your
feet hang off the end, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you can't move around too much. So.
Well, you can. Things just go bump in the night, that's all.
Yeah, you just fall off the bed. Yeah. But it was a really cool place, and there was 60-something of us that went back, and the scenario was a 9.0 subduction, Cascadia subduction zone earthquake, large multi-state earthquake, and it centered 8 miles deep, a few miles out of Willow Creek.
Also, it was not offshore.
No,
this at the triple junction. It was,
yeah, and it still created a tsunami, and the tsunami closed 101 down, closed, knocked bridges down, hundreds of people died.
Is it a possibility?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah. So we've got that as our scenario. When we come back, we'll play the game. Boy, this is kind of scary because you're going to be like the coordinator of the game.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, before the break, you kind of played the scenario out as you guys started on Monday, a 9 point, not that deep. But this one was in the mountains rather than in the ocean, which is a little bit different than what we tend to experience here. A 9-point, though, is something that historically has happened, but I don't think, what's it been, 150 years, 200 years? Something.
I'm trying to remember.
It's been long enough where nobody's around that remembers it. Yeah. You just see some of the stuff in the Mad River.
Yeah, they definitely have evidence of it.
So something like that happens. It would have been a surprise to me being there expecting, I mean, you know, you're anticipating, which is probably the first wrong thing to do.
I hope I got that right, whether it was inland, Creek.
Not a major population base, but certainly ripples throughout. What is a 9 like? Look like? What does it do in this scenario?
So it shakes for, I think Lori Dingler was the one explaining to us like what kind of impacts you would have and what it would feel like. And
was she part of the staff or was she part of the team?
She was part of the team. She's okay. You know, so if we had a large earthquake and like that in Humboldt County with the tsunami, she would be, you know, plugged in.
She's there. Yeah.
So I believe she said it would shake for around 5 minutes. You know, we get these,
the aftershocks or no, the initial?
The initial one. I mean, it's shake for a very long time, minutes long shaking.
Really? Because, we've had the 7s, 2s, 3s, 4s, and those weren't over a minute.
No, so, and they were explaining, like, when you go up from one point to the other, you know, it's 32 times, you know, of the previous one.
So the difference from a 5 to a 6.
Like the compounding interest thing, right? So it's massive.
Logarithmic, I think, is the fancy word there.
Exponential.
Okay. Same, yeah.
So it's a crazy amount of shaking, bridges down, tsunami. We had to do everything from, so part of our group was the policy group, and so we were actually put into a separate room with all the policymakers.
You mean the guys that didn't get their fingernails dirty?
And then there's the operations center, and then there's the public information officer, that kind of. So they were split into three groups, and they're, I think, the ones that I remember anyways. And those were the three main ones. And the operations center, I think they were split into more than, they were split out from the operations center into different groups also, but they mostly worked out of one room, and they did all the logistics and the building and planning department checking buildings and the Red Cross opening shelters. And it was
is there a Red Cross locally?
Oh yeah,
we had the discussion last week.
Yeah, they actually just got a new building in the airport business park in McKinleyville. They just moved in. Yeah, they just moved buildings over there. I'm going to go take a tour of it, hopefully next week.
Now that you appreciate their function a little bit more, huh?
You know what? They're invaluable when it comes to something like this. And yeah, they're a big piece of the emergency response.
I would think that if there was a 9, obviously 299 is gone. Did 197 in this scenario, 199, did that disappear?
In this scenario, every road was closed, but 101 and 299 was actually open to emergency vehicles only after a couple of days. We had some slides that they had to clear and that kind of thing.
Sure.
We had helicopters in here from
It was the airlift.
Yeah. Concept. The airport was actually did okay and was still open to emergency landings and that kind of thing. The at one point, so our job was the policy, you know, basically our job is to pass ordinances, you know, that they need and give them the funding they need quickly. You know, that's basically our job. And then don't get in the way. Don't micromanage. Don't get in the way. You know, so we had
That's kind of in your job description today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just don't get in the way.
Don't get in the way. Well, you mean we hire professionals and these people are trained. They know what they're doing. Don't go
in the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were like, you know, we could go into the operations room and kind of observe and just see how it was going. But you didn't want to tell anybody what to do or answer questions of, you know, just stay out of their way. Let them do their job. You know, especially in a big emergency like that is, the, you know, the more intense it gets, the more important that is to not.
Number one.
Yeah, don't get in their way.
With this, and I presume that it was trying to be as realistic as possible. Did the fiber optics hold up? Or did that go down also? Because you're talking about funding, and I'm thinking, okay, if the fiber optics go down like they did last week just because, the banks don't aren't banks anymore. The gas stations aren't gas stations anymore. There's a lot of things that are dependent on that that just locks.
Yeah, there was a lot of that that was out. You know, the banks, the gas stations, grocery stores, and they did. I think they had it prioritized on which ones would open up. You know, so the food and gas was a priority to get back open. I think they had something worked out with like the renter stations. From what I remember, there was something that they wanted to try and work with them to try and make sure that these gas stations get opened. So, you know, we did have fiber optics because there was social media was running on the thing, and they had so we had TV, live newscasts. We had live TV interviews with reporters asking questions to
the big national guys.
Yeah, to Dr. Baird, the public health director, Billy Hansel, the undersheriff, Supervisor Fennell was up there doing the TV conference for us, and there was at one point Donald Trump wanted to come fly in and, you know, check on everybody.
Bringing his money? Come on, baby.
So we had to tell his people no, because it was for emergencies only and that kind of thing. And then there was another big incident of where there was sex offenders in the shelters, and it ended up on CNN. And
we'll talk scrolling. About that one when we come back. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Ryan, as you had the scenarios kind of laid out there, you talked about the national media. Was that part of what you guys were playing with, is the aggressive, investigative, national reporter?
Yeah, so hopefully I'm trying to, you know, paint the picture for you that of how realistic they tried to make this for us. And they have a whole operations room that that FEMA has to run this thing for us. And, you know, having live KIEM news they had on the TV with, you know, live interviews from people from Humboldt. They had photoshopped pictures of, like, the Chevron station behind the mall on fire, and pictures
of the tanks.
Yeah, and pictures of that, and they really did do a pretty good job of trying to make it as realistic as possible, and then throw you curveballs as you went. And so that's where the sex offender and the shelters thing came from, was from a reporter's question to Undersheriff Hansel, and then next thing you know,
did he hit a home run or did he stammer?
No, he just said, you know, we have a lot of things to deal with, and that's not one of the things that we can drop everything for. And then we went back to the policy group and said, okay, well, let's get the message out that the shelters are safe. We've got safety people at the shelters. You don't need to worry about going there. And so that's you know, our job was to kind of control, you know, follow the social media with the PIO group and, you know, answer the high-level questions and decisions, and then make sure that at one point there was looting happening in Eureka. And so we put an ordinance in effect that allowed the sheriff to do a curfew if they needed to. So those were all the kinds of things that came our way. And so really,
emergency short-term kinds of things rather than long-term policy statements.
Yeah, well, so that was for during the emergency. We did a whole piece on recovery. And so I think that's where you're going there, is how, you know, we're a lot more involved with recovery and what is the new normal for the area. You know, what is it going to look like?
What are we going to name the lake? What? The physical change of the river.
Yeah, there could be definitely.
I don't think Sundberg rose to the surface, though, apparently. What, What were some of the...
That's where you're wrong.
Yeah. You float dandy. Okay. What were some of the physicalness of this scenario being played out?
You mean like the bridges?
Bridges, realignment, yeah. Roadways not lining up anymore, that kind of stuff. What are they looking at as far as the rebuilding process at the end of this event?
So there was, your infrastructure is knocked out. You know, you have to rebuild your roads. You rebuild your bridges.
Central Avenue knocked out, or just the bridge at the base of the hill?
Mostly the really low-lying things, so like Fairhaven, Manila, places that are in tsunami zone, King Salmon. They're going to be gone with a large tsunami like that.
20-foot wave? 30-foot wave?
I forget how many feet. It's something. Yeah, I think it's more than 30 foot.
Enough so it came over the spit.
Yeah, enough to where it, and then it's, the way that those tsunamis work, it's not just a one big wave that comes in. It's a pushing, and it can last for days. They were measuring the tsunami that was in Alaska, I think. It was either Alaska or Crescent City. And the one that happened, I think it was 3 days later, was the highest wave that came in. They had one larger one at the very beginning, one smaller one, and then the
surprise. Yeah.
And it was days later. So it's a pushing of the water in, and that's how, Old Arcata Road was underwater. 101 was underwater.
Sure, so it would run up the
slough. So there was no way to get to Eureka, So there was a...
Or out
of
Eureka.
I'm sure you'll interview other people that went. Yeah. But they'll... there was a lot of holes that were... and there's a lot of... I was also impressed with how well-prepared we are.
So a lot of it was gap management rather than taking...
Yeah, saying where are the little things that we can improve on. But, we've got a well-trained Dory from Emergency Management at the Sheriff's Office. She was really key in all of this. And I was impressed. Because we sat back a lot as the policy group and fielded the bigger things, and we weren't in the weeds. We were kind of step back. So I was watching the whole thing run, and I was
not been permitted yet.
Yeah, I left there feeling much better about what my role is, and then also that we are prepared for something like this.
The structure is there. I would think, as an elected, you're probably in the safest position because the structure remains. The players may change. Versus having a long term. Like a city manager or police chief, fire chief, something like that, that has been there for a long, long, long time and has kind of grown up in it. And then the change to the new guy trying to figure out what's going on instead of stepping back and being able to kind of see it from the 10,000 foot level.
Yep.
Did Shasta blow at the same time?
Oh, what did they say about Shasta?
Or Lassen? Or
I remember them talking about, it was the... The Ruth Lake Dam, Matthews, it was still intact.
Yeah, oh, really?
It didn't go out.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I don't remember
them
talking about Shasta, but I do remember them talking about Ruth Lake.
Yeah. No, I was saying if there was any volcanic activity in association with...
And I don't remember them saying anything about volcanic activity.
It was probably the other room down the hall. Yeah.
It didn't get sent all the way down to our...
The guys have to do something.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the exercise itself, not the details specifically, but is that something that you guys could replicate here? Because I think my sense, never participating, is that there are two byproducts of this. One is you're testing your systems. Mm-hmm. Okay, and nobody has to die in this one. So you test and you test and you test. And the other is you get to understand the personalities. and who can handle and who can't, and who you get along with and who you can't. I would think that if those were the two precepts, that if there's been confirmation the systems are in place, and the cops do it and the fire guys do it, there's a lot of that kind of stuff that's going on anyway as part of regular training, that it's the kumbaya part.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you rely on? Who can't you rely on? Who's the goofball? Who's not the goofball? That would be something that you would want to try to replicate here locally.
Yeah, and they can't replicate what happened back in Maryland because of all the technology and the structure, the infrastructure they have set up to make a live drill like that. But our EOS system does get... They do trainings, they do tabletop exercises, they, you know,
we have the tsunami warning thing and yeah, you know, some of that kind of stuff. So
they do higher level ones than the tsunami warning ones. We just don't hear about them because it's all the fire and police and the emergency guys all get together.
Yeah, you get a press release saying, by the way, if you hear the sirens going, don't worry about
mm-hmm.
it.
And that's just one little piece of it. The siren one you hear about because it's public. You know, the public.
Yeah, it's outside the building.
Yeah, they have to publicize because they're going to test the system on the warning system. But they do things behind the scenes a few times a year to test their system and to work on their system of, you know, who's going to do what. And
has there been a thought, or maybe this is a residual, I've never heard of it, but for the players who have gone through these things, you know, there are titles that are involved and then there are the individuals that are involved,
mm-hmm.
to have a social once a year. You're not going anywhere. I mean, since the R1, you know, have Rexy bring his barbecue somewhere. And you guys just have a social. But you get to see each other on a social basis so that you get to know a little bit more about them, you know, and how they react. Because I would think you throw a good dose of good old-fashioned stress on top of things, and you really do need to know who can handle it and who isn't and who you have a good relationship. I mean, you flip me something, I'm going to take it personal. It doesn't matter if there's an earthquake or anything. I mean, that's just how we are. But you got to know who those people are before you flip somebody something and they go crazy and they go, you know, running.
So, yeah, I think luckily the fire EOS police officers, sheriff's officers, you know, they all... have a, you know, they all know each other and are, you know, I don't think there's any issues there.
One word impression. What would it be of your week?
It was realistic. I guess that was my one. I wasn't expecting it to be like that. I was expecting us. I didn't know what to expect, actually. And I've been to so many trainings where I get something out of it, but it's just not very much because it's not focused towards elected officials. It's more focused at staff. And then we get to see what staff's doing. This one had us as a role, and I really came out of there knowing what I'm supposed to do and that the rest of the system is a well-oiled machine. I was really impressed, and I was really impressed with FEMA and how realistic they can make it.
Very cool. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And surviving the trip. See you tomorrow.